Hi, everybody. Good to see you all. Thanks for joining our joint worship service this morning. I'm Isaac, pastor at Chapel Mennonite Fellowship. And it's my honor here to introduce our guest speaker, our guest preacher this morning, Glenn Guyton, the executive director of Mennonite Church USA, our denomination, the denomination that holds our lives together. Over here is Chapel Hill Mennonite Fellowship, Raleigh Mennonite, and all the rest of the churches across the country. Glenn, like I said, executive director, I first knew Glenn through back in the day, life in Virginia Mennonite Conference, when he was a minister there, as was I. He first got called into ministry in the early 90s. Up in Hampton, Virginia, Calvary Community Church, called out of the Air Force. He was at the Air Force, in the Air Force at the time. Changed his mind about that. There's a long, interesting story there, which I imagine he'd be, it's probably written up somewhere. I imagine you could read on one of our church presses. But anyhow, so he served in congregational life there in Hampton, Virginia for over a decade, and then got called into staff for the denomination, Mennonite Church USA, and now is our executive director, and I'm so glad that he is. Like I said, I've known him for a while, and I've personally been grateful for his support and his friendship during the twists and turns of denominational life in this church. I know Glenn as a person of integrity, of truthfulness, someone who loves God with all of his heart, mind, and soul, and is committed to the way of Jesus. Glenn, I'm so grateful that you've taken your time this morning to join us for this service. Looking forward to the word that you have for us, and I will pass it over to Melissa, who will offer prayer.
And Glenn, I'd love to pray for you before you preach. Let's pray together. God of the life-giving word, we pray for our brother Glenn as he offers to us a proclamation of your good news. Bless him in his preaching. May the words of his mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you so much, Melissa and Isaac. Thank you all for having me here today, even here virtually, as we can't gather together. It's a privilege to be here. One day I'll make it down to North Carolina in person, but I'm glad to join you all this morning for this joint service. So again, just hello everyone from Raleigh Mennonite Church, Chapel Hill Mennonite Fellowship. Melissa and Isaac are friends of mine, and one of the reasons why I got up early this morning is because of the relationship I have with these two pastors. And like Isaac said, I've known him for a while. I think I'll say it was the mid-90s. Isaac is trying to make me older than I am, but it was the mid-90s, not early 90s. So I'm not that old yet. Just grateful to be a part of this service. And I've, been in touch again with your pastors and kind of seen some of the great things that are going on in your congregations. One of the things I'm impressed about is this Pay It Forward. I didn't know about Pay It Forward, so I definitely have to come down and make pie, even though I think the pie in this picture is more of a quiche. I'll let that pass. But anytime that we have pie and people sharing pie, I think that's just such a wonderful and great thing to illustrate the love of Christ. And also just impressed with the baptismal pictures from Turtle Hole. That's real baptism, right? When you get dunked in the lake somewhere down south. I mean, how much more saved can you be? And I don't know how you got the dog to pose for those pictures. Maybe he knew you were going to read those scriptures today from the Book of Psalms. So that dog was in line. I'm glad y'all got that dog under control. So what does it mean to be in the way of Jesus? That's what I want to talk a little bit about this morning. And, we're looking at John 15, but I want to take a little step back to John 14, and I'm going to share a song back from my youth pastor days. I was doing some ministry down in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Y'all may be familiar with Rocky Mount, but we have a church partnership down there from Calvary Community Church in Hampton, Virginia, but we did a Bible, vacation Bible school down there. So I want to share a song that kind of came to mind from that church. So just hold on for a second. Let me share this with you all. So that's a song that I learned when I was a youth pastor. We did a vacation Bible school in Rocky Mount. And that song has really stuck with me over the years. I'm just weird like that. You know, maybe it's just the youth pastor in me. But, you know, Thomas, Doubting Thomas, you all may be familiar with that story from John 14. But I think it takes us to where we want to go in John chapter 15. You know, so what does it mean to be in the way of Jesus, to follow Jesus, you know, do our beliefs and practices get in the way, right? Or are we following the path of Jesus? Are we following in the way of Christ as we live our lives as Christians, as we are part of this body? I think it's an important question for us to ask ourselves on what is the path that we're called to? What does it mean to be a Christian? And I think we have to ask ourselves that each and every day. You know, Isaac was so kind as he talked about me and talked about my integrity. But, you know, it's every day where I have to think about who I am in Christ and my walk, and do my desires, do my actions line up with where God is leading me and where God is calling me. You know, I wrote this book back when I was a youth pastor. It's called, I wrote this book, and it's kind of youth based, I should say. Just 2 years ago, that's been an eternity, right? That's about 50 COVID years. But I wrote this book. It's called The Ideal Me, Discovering Your Call in a Cluttered World. And one of the sections is about, you know, following your path. So I decide, we all decide the direction that we're going to go in our lives. We decide, you know, how we will walk as Christians. We decide that the things that we do, how we present ourselves as we go through this walk. So just as we go through this message today, just I want you to think about, what is your path? Where is God calling you? What is God leading you to do in your identity as a believer? And so this has been an interesting year, right? 2020. I don't know if this January, if people are going to be, this December, if people are going to be saying, I can't wait for 2021. That's what they said last year, right? And now we find ourselves in 2020, and it's just been crazy. But as I think about everything that's going on, and as I think about who I am as an African American, and you know, I hear all of the stories, I watch things that are current in news, such as George Floyd, and people are saying, "Oh, you know, this is so horrible. This is the worst that it's ever been." And you know, racism is you know, it's out of control. You know, and I think to myself, I said, "Well, it's not like racism was just created yesterday." You know, we were in this COVID thing with sickness, and racism came back. Racism said, "I'm undeterred. I'm gonna rise up and let you know that I'm still here." But the roots and the seeds of what has been happening have been consistent throughout our history as a nation. And so I reflected back on some of the words of Dr. Martin Luther King back in 1965 when the Watts riots were happening. And he says the economic deprivation, racial isolation, inadequate housing, and general despair of thousands of Negroes are the ready seeds which gave birth to tragic expressions of violence. And so 2020 is actually just, is not that unique. We are just a younger generation. Some of you may remember what was going on in 1965. I was born in 1969, much younger than my friend Melissa, but still, I wasn't around during the civil rights movement. And so some of the progress that was made in the civil rights movement, I would say, didn't stick. You know, so if we don't study history, if we don't understand who we are, as we live our lives, history will repeat itself. And so what seeds are we planting as Christians, as the body of Christ? Because we see the seeds of discord and despair that Dr. King talked about. We see them coming back up, right? They're rising back up. They're coming to take over our nation. You know, white supremacy, other forms of hatred that have, where we're just under the surface, they sprouted, right? Because we created an environment where those things could thrive. And so we, as the body of Christ, we have an obligation to plant seed. What types of seeds are we going to plant as the body of Christ, as these people who are seeking to be in the way of Jesus? I think COVID put the world on pause, right? It allowed us, or made us, forced us to sit still for a little bit. You know, I was busy. I was flying 10 days a month. I was all over the country. Churches were doing this and that. Oh, let's do trunk or treat. Oh, let's have a Christmas party. Oh, let's have a bake sale. Oh, let's do this. Oh, let's do this. But were we planting the seeds that were necessary to continue to show the love of Christ to our brothers and sisters? Were we planting the right seeds, or were we just doing stuff? We were just doing stuff as Christians. Were we just showing up to drink our coffee, right, on Sunday morning, just our social club? I don't know if y'all like the Cowboys or not, but they're doing horrible this year. So COVID made us stop and think and pause and look at all of our busyness and all of the things that were going on in our lives. And I think it just made us just have to reflect on who we are as a church, as a nation, as individuals. And so let's jump to John chapter 15. And I have the whole verse in here because I think it's important that we look at that whole chapter. But this is the chapter that talks about being that, like, that vine, right? Being a part of that vine, being connected. And I think it's just so important that we remember that as Christians. Isaac talked about us being a part of Mennonite Church USA. One of the best things that I think has ever been said about me in the church, I'm sure a lot of things have been said about me, but one of the best things that's been said about me is that Glenn loves Jesus more than he loves being Mennonite. And because that's the center of who we are. I like being Mennonite. I enjoy Mennonites, especially when we bake pies and all that good stuff like that, and some of the ethnic traditions that go along with being Mennonite. But the theology is the thing that really draws me to this body, the theology of understanding the life of Christ, that it's not just about Christ dying for our sins, but it's about Christ living for us. And so we have to remember that. And then we jump down to the verse 12, which says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And that's a powerful thing, right? God is saying, "Hey, I want you to love your brother and sister just as much as I love you, even to the point of death." right? That's the uncomfortable part, even to the point of death. And we forget that as Christians, I believe sometimes we forget. Maybe you in North Carolina, you all might have all this down pat. So I'm just telling you this so you can go and share it with someone else. But we forget the sacrifice that comes along with this walk, with being in the way of Jesus. And so you think about the 60s, everything that was going on and what it took for us to provide justice in the natural sense. You know, people were attacked by dogs. They were brutalized by the police, even peaceful protesters. And so now we're in 2020 and people say, hey, just be peaceful. Just take it easy. Don't get too excited. But even the Bible tells us that it takes more than that. Sometimes we have to, in order to show love, we have to put ourselves at risk. There's a danger to it. There's a sacrifice that comes along with this walk. You know, you have to do a little sweating if you're going to be planting seeds. The seeds don't just fall on the ground and just come up with a crop. You have to do some work. You have to put some energy and effort into it. And I think COVID, at least for me, has forced me to rethink some of the things that I do as a Christian, to prioritize where I give my time and energy, especially when I can't always reach out and touch people like I wanted to. And so I think we just have to think about what these scriptures say, that there's no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. What are you willing to sacrifice to live out the call of Christ? We have to ask ourselves that every day. What are you willing to sacrifice? It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be cake and ice cream. And then what does it mean to say that, you know, that we are friends with God, that connection that we have, that it's not just about us, but we're part of a bigger fellowship, part of something, something special. We're part of something special, something bigger than ourselves, and we can't forget this. And part of that obligation is so that we love one another so that others can see the love of Christ. That's so important as we think about the political nature of Christianity now. You know, everyone's picking sides, but the Bible commands us to love one another so that others can see. You know, others can see what's going on, that they can see what we're producing, they can see the fruit that is in our lives. It's such an important thing that we can't forget. And so what are the expectations? I want to give you some expectations. If you're taking notes at home, you can write these things down or screenshot it with your camera if you are one of those younger generation folks that likes to do things like this. But production, this is what we're called to do. Production. There should be some fruit in our lives. And I've talked to Melissa, I've talked to Isaac. I know you all are doing some great things in prison ministry, in your communities, in politics, and helping people be released from debt. Those are the things that we should be doing. People should say there's some tangible nature to this walk. We have a walk of faith, but there should be some fruit that people can pick and say, that's good. That's good. As good as that quiche pie that you made. There's some fruit that we produce that people should be able to see. Oh, that's what it means to be a Christian. There's an accountability to this walk, that we're not doing this alone. Verse 6 says, whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. This is not a solo walk. That's verse 6 from chapter 15. This is not a solo walk. We're called to be connected as the body of Christ, to help one another, to work with one another, to become a part of something bigger than ourselves. Even if we weren't originally part of that something, we're grafted into this family. And then we have love. Don't talk to me about love if you have not paid the price. You know, let's see, how many years has it been? Man, 25 years ago, I think. I've been married 25 years. 25 years ago, I married my wife. I told her I loved her. I didn't even know, right, at the time. That's, you know, I love her now. I put a lot of energy and effort into this marriage. We've been married a long time. You know, I liked her a lot when we first got married, but I really love her now. Like my kids, I've been with my kids for a few years now. My son's 18, my daughter's, how old is my daughter? I think she's like 22 now. You know, I love them, right? I loved them when I first saw them. Oh, they were so beautiful and everything. But now I got a lot invested in these jokers. One is upstairs right now eating my snacks. You know, love is it's some sacrifice that comes along with love. So we can't just say, hey, we often as Christians, we throw around that love term. We love person, or, you know, we make up scriptures, you know, hate to sin and love the sinner. You don't love those people. You haven't put any effort into loving those people. You haven't done one thing to express that love. You haven't paid any price. There's a cost to love. Commitment and sacrifice. That's what love is. It's more than just a simple feeling that we have. It's more than just empty words. We're also called to risk. God didn't call us to be static Christians. If you jump down to verse 15, it says, I do not call you my servants any longer because servants do not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. So we have to take some risk. We're accountable. We're not just in this relationship where someone else is telling us what to do. No, we have knowledge and we're called to act on that knowledge as Christians. So there's a risk to living this life, to being a Christian. And it's not always easy. I think Christ helps us through the hard times, but it doesn't mean that we won't have any hard times. And I've said before that we have this other kind of love, this human kinship that we're called to be with one another. You know, Jesus said in that last verse, verse 17, I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. It's an obligation. We have an obligation to love one another, to be in fellowship with one another. It's in the gospel, right? It's in the gospel and the red letters, as people say. And so we have an obligation to obey these commandments. Obedience, verse 10 of John 15 tells us to obey that commandment. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so if we want to be like Christ, if we want to be in the way of Jesus, then we have an obligation to love one another. And again, to sacrifice for one another, to be committed to one another, even if we don't like each other sometimes. Sometimes I don't like my wife. I know that's controversial. Sometimes I don't like her. Sometimes she does stuff that aggravates me. Of course, I never do anything wrong. But you know, yeah, but you know, but we love one another. We're committed to something. We know why we are together, even if it's not always cake and ice cream. And then joy. Hey, this is the part I like right here. Joy, that obligation to have joy, that God will work on our behalf, to have joy and peace in our lives. Now, I'm an Enneagram 7. Melissa does a lot with this Enneagram stuff. I'm an Enneagram 7, so I could probably see something joyful in whatever's going on. But verse 11 says, I have said these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I like that. I live my life that way. Again, maybe it's because I'm a 7. We all need to be 7s. That's all I can say. It should be something different about being a Christian. Not that I don't have things happen in my life, but I know that somewhere God's going to have a win for me, that the people that I'm going to have an influence on other people's lives. So I want to be infectious, more infectious than this COVID thing as I live my life. I want to share and spread joy with other people. And one of my prayers that I tell, this is one of my prayers. I said, God, if I don't believe you for anything else, I'm going to believe you for peace in my life. And I have things go on. You know, it's not always easy being the first African-American person to do anything, especially lead a mostly majority white institution. So there's some troubles come sometimes, right? But then I just remind myself, hey, Glenn, you have the love of Christ. You have joy. You have peace in your heart. And that's how I make it through some days. And so I think we have to have that encouragement that comes from being a part of this body, that we're not alone, but also understanding that God is there for us, that Christ is there for us as we go through this walk. And so even in the midst of our differences, we want to remember that. I think that sometimes as Christians, it's easy for us when there's a power dynamic for us to just say, hey, we're going to love those people over there. We're going to love those people over there. And yeah, you know, God has called it. I know they're sinners, but we're going to love them. And we're going to show them the love of Christ. And oh, we're going to feed those poor, desperate people because that's what God has called us to do. But I think that the challenge comes when it's us together, right? When we as Christians have to love one another, when we're in these equal relationships, when it's not this power disparity, how do we deal with one another in our disagreements, in our differences? And so I was thinking about this song from Benny King, Stand By Me. Now, look, I'm a speaker. I'm not a musician. I'm gonna do a little bit for you this morning. So that song goes, it says, when the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light, light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long, would that mess it up? Oh, I'm sorry. Just as long as you stand by me. So stand by me. That's the other thing that I want us to think about as the body of Christ. When things are dark, when things seem lonely, let's not shirk away from the people that we are connected to. Let's not be afraid. Our fear shouldn't divide us. Our fear of the unknown, our fear of what's to come. Let's put our faith in Christ, understanding that we are connected not only to this deity that's so far away that it's hard for us sometimes to grasp or understand what it means, but we're also connected to people that are right next to us, like the people that are on this call that are part of this service. You're connected to each and every person here. You can just pick up the phone. You can call them, even if you don't always agree, even if things seem dark. We as the body of Christ have to understand that we are connected to something greater than ourselves. And that connection gives us joy. That connection produces fruit. And then it helps us to understand our call. A call is a summons to a particular course of action influenced by the divine. And so I want to leave you with this question. What is your call? What seeds are you going to plant so that the things that happened in the 60s and the things that are happening in 2020 won't keep happening? What is your call as a part of this body? What is your call as one connected to the vine? Let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the wonderful example of your son, Jesus Christ. God, as we walk this path in our life, God, we pray that you will highlight the divine for us. God, show us the way. God, we know that you are the truth, that you are the life. God, that you grant us access to our God in heaven. So we thank you this day for all that you've given us. We thank you for the friends that are gathered around this call virtually. God, we thank you for the people that will listen later, God, and we thank you for pie and food and all the things that bring us together as the body of Christ. God, sometimes we feel distant from you, God, but we thank you for friends and family. We thank you for this wonderful church, God, that allows us to see and feel your love in tangible ways. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.